was I? The synagogues. They're called Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Blessed be the name. Well, people, we're in the church age. Israel needs to come to church. God set them aside for this whole age. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how God deals with the world. Now, we need to concentrate on God's people and God's things, and Israel needs to be evangelized today. They need evangelism. They're not the evangelists. They will be the evangelists in this period of time after it's too late. After it's too late. Let's go look at some words in Hebrew and in Greek, okay? Hebrew and Greek. Words are very important. Names are very important. Did you know that? Names. Doris, back of there, her name comes from a Greek word which means a gift, a great gift with no strings attached. Isn't that nice, Doris? All right. Jim, my name comes from the Hebrew word Jacob, Jacobu, which means trickster. I haven't got a very good one. The Indians, they called the trickster Miacha, the coyote. Okay. So the coyote, so that's not as good a name. God had to change Jacob's name, and he named him what? Israel, the man who wrestled with God. He was a prince with God. Now let's go back and look at some words. Sodom. That's how you spell it in Hebrew right there. It's backwards. Sodom. All right? Sodom. Yet actually in Hebrew it's Sodom. All right? But we use the word Sodom for it. Sodom. Now what does Sodom mean? What's it mean? Can you read my English at all? Flammable. Flammable. Just think about this. Sodom means flammable. Okay? Sodom means flammable. Now there was a lot of grass around there. Remember when Abraham and Lot, and by the way, you say Abraham, that's how you say his name in Hebrew. And then Lot is Lot, like Laos, Lot. Now, he was a saved man, all right, but he was an ungodly saved man, Lot was. And God knew that as long as Lot was with Abraham, that they were going to have problems. So the animals of Abraham and the animals of Lot greatly multiplied, and they had a lot of servants and everything else. God was blessing them and with great wealth, but the land could not support them. So they said, you go to the right hand or to the left. And just pick out the land. I'll go one way and you go the other way. That's what Abraham told Lot. And Lot said, okay. He looked down there and towards Sodom and Gomorrah was a grassy, lush land like the Garden of Eden. It was a very, very beautiful, okay? Lots of vegetation and lots of cities. There was five cities, actually, down there. And Lot said, I go there. And Abraham said, well, I go to the wilderness. That was the other land. That was the wilderness where he was going to go. All right. The name Lot, or Sodom, means flammable. Now, in words, are a lot, it means a lot now. Because around Sodom was what? What?
Grass.
There was a lot of grass and a lot of tar pits. Tar pits. Now, tar burns. Did you know that? Tar burns. That's what you make gasoline out of, you know, is oil. It's real thick, what they call low gravity oil. Tar, that's what tar is. Marilyn out there she grew up in Taft out there in the oil patch. And you used to go out there and find pieces of tar on the ground and they chewed on, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like chewing gum. Yeah, like chewing gum. It had a taste to it. Well, around Sodom was a lot of wild chewing gum. A lot of tar. And tar is flammable. You can get tar burning, and I mean it burns, doesn't it? It really, brother, we have a fireman in here. These buildings that have tar on them, when they old tar paper roof and everything, that gets hot, doesn't it? All right, just think about what that means, Sodom means. Now, we come to the word Amora. Now, Amora. It's got mem in it, mayim in it, which means water. It means much water, very much produce, very fertile land. It means habitation and culture, because there it was. There you have. That's what Amora means. Now, the Septuagint changed the name of Amora to Gomora. All right, you can look that in here. I'm not lying to you. Now, Gomorrah is the Greek way of saying Amora. That's how they translate it. This is what it looks like. Gomorrah. That's where we get our English word. All right, Gomorrah from. You learned something today, didn't you? Just a little bit. Now, I wanted to tell you that because what was going to happen to this land? Just think about this now. What's going to happen to the land in the future? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah and the five cities? Where did it end up? What happened to it, Sister Andy? It burned up. Sodom, flammable. God rained fire down from heaven. When them tar pits caught on fire, what do you think happened? All right. Now, Amora means much water, very much habitation. Where is Sodom and Gomorrah today, as far as we know? What's there? Much water. The Dead Sea. Much dead water. All right, that's where it is. Right down there. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I want to go into something today. The Apocrypha has books in it. The Didache is not part of the Apocrypha. The Didache is the ancient writings. It says the ancient Christian writers. Ancient Christian writers. All right? Ancient Christian writers, the Didache. Now, people out in cults and isms and everything else, sometimes we might have to get more chairs down. I forgot to do that today. Here we got people coming in. All right. Barnabas was one of Paul's students, wasn't he? Barnabas. Barnabas comes from Bar and Ba and Naba. Bar and Naba. All right. Now let's go to Acts, the fourth chapter and verse 36. Acts 4 and verse 36. Words mean a lot. Remember that. Words mean a lot. Brother Brett, when you wander back over there, can you shut that back door, please? All right. Acts 4:36. Now, one of the best tools that you can ever have as far as studying the Bible is a good study Bible with helps in it, off to the side. Carry that with you all the time and get you a pencil and write down things in that thing. How does your brain remember things? When I was going to school, by making notes. When I was going to school, we had to do a lot of things by memory. Brother Rex, did you have to remember the preamble to the Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more great, you know, all this? You had to memorize all this stuff, and how did they, and in classroom we had to sit down and write all of these things. We had to sit down the Bill of Rights and write all the Bill of Rights down. And when you keep writing, what happens? It goes from your hand to your head. All right? Now get you a Bible out as we study these things and write in that Bible. Take all the notes. I know Brother Bill, he's his Bible, he said God wasn't going to let me die until he had all his Bible all scribbled up, yellowed out and everything else. But if you write notes in your Bible, now as we went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom means what? Flammable. Amora in Hebrew was changed to Gemara in the Septuagint, and it means much water. So what happened? Sodom and Gomorrah burned up, and it turned into the Dead Sea, much water. All right? Now let's go to Acts 4 and verse 36. Acts 4 and 36. And let's look at one of Paul's very famous companions. Sister Andino, are you there? No, Acts. Okay, so now we're going to come to the guy named Barnabas. And he said, and his name means son of consolation. Well, that's one translation for it. All right? One translation for it. Son of consolation. Now let's look at Barnabas. Barnabas comes from two Hebrew words and Aramaic words, which is bar, which means what? Bar Jesus. Bar Jesus meant what? What did Bar Jesus mean? What did Barabbas mean in the Bible? For you guys, men. Barabbas. What is Marilyn? What's Barabbas mean? Yeah, Barabbas.
We must have missed this fact, Joe.
Barabbas. Barabbas. Barabbas means son of the Father. Barabbas, that was the guy that they turned loose, you know, when Jesus, Pilate was trying to turn Jesus loose. He said, let me give you the devil. Barabbas. Barabbas, son of the Father.
Barabbas and Barabbas, or is there?
Well, same thing. Two different ways to, Barabbas and Barabbas, okay?
Well, there's two different people in there.
Yeah. Now, anyway, Barabbas means son of the Father. Who do you think his father was?
Satan.
Satan. He said, do you want the devil, or do you want Jesus? And they said, give us the devil. Barabbas, son of the Father. Bar Jesus means what? Son of Jesus. There was a guy named Bar Jesus, son of Jesus, that was going out and a false prophet, wasn't there? All right. I had a friend of mine who said his name was Ben Susan. His name meant son of Susan. Ben or Bara means son from Hebrew and Arabic. Okay? Hebrew, Aramaic, and Chaldee, and all of that. Bar and Ben means son. Okay? Got that? Bar and Ben means son. Now, Barnabas. Bar means son. Okay? And then Naba. Naba. Now, on the page, I wrote a master's thesis back in some time or other in history, about 30 or 40 years ago. And I talk about the prophets. 1980. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? A few years ago. Anyway, on page something. On page 39 in that little thesis, it's called The Near Cult. Okay? You've got that. Don't you have this, Linda? I think you've got this. This was my master's thesis. It tells about that. Barnabas. Let's look at Barnabas. Barnabas. And in Acts, Paul translates it, or whoever, well, not Paul, but Luke translates it as what? Son of consolation. Now let's look at it. Okay? Barnabas. It comes from Bar and Naba. All right? Naba means to bubble. Like wine, champagne, to bubble. All right? Like a spring bubbles. Have you ever gone to a spring where the spring was bubbling and producing things? And it means to bubble up. It means to pour it abundantly. Okay? It means to bubble up and to produce abundantly. So if God produces abundantly, what is He doing? He's blessing you. So that's where they get the word son of consolation. But now in Gesenius's Hebrew lexicon, I'm going to tell you some things. All right? That's Nabah. 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 All right? It means to pour forth abundantly, to bubble up, but it also means to prophesy. It means also to prophesy. As is done by those who speak with divine emotion of mind. Divine emotion of mind, what's that mean? Inspiration. Divine inspiration. It in the Nephil stem, it means to speak as a prophet by divine power, to prophesy. And in the Greek is prophetēo. That's where we get our word prophet from, prophetēo. All right? And it says, from divine prophets having been supposed to be moved rather by another's powers than their own. Now, there were prophets of Baal in the Old Testament. There were prophets of Baal. There on Mount Carmel, we have the prophets of Baal. And that's where I go into my thesis here. We talk about those prophets of Baal over there. And by the way, I made a typographical error. I call that Daba instead of Naba in the typing. And I never did catch that for years. That's a typographical error in my book, in my master's thesis. I'm glad they didn't grade me down for that. But anyway, it means to speak. It means to prophesy. It means to threaten or to bless. Now, how would it be? It could be to bless people or to threaten people. Both ways, couldn't it? You can prophesy good and you can prophesy bad, can't you? Well, prophesy good and prophesy bad. And it then talks about all the different places where the prophets prophesied. This word, Naba. All right? By the way, that is on page 525 in Gesenius's Hebrew lexicon, if you want to look it up later. And let me put that on the camera real quick. Now let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Acts 4:36, and let's read that one more time. Acts 4:36. Linda, are you over there also?
And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement.
All right, son of encouragement or what else? Consolation or son of prophecy? Son of prophecy. All right, I want you to understand that all of those are in that name. Okay, go ahead, Linda.
Of the county of Cyprus.
Okay, and what was he? What tribe was Barnabas from? Levites. What were the Levites? The priests of Israel. Now, he's a Levite. And his name is son of consolation or son of prophecy. All right? Now, in the Didache, all right, I read everything. If I hear anything in the Bible or in church history and it names a book, I never really trusted church history. I went back and traced every footnote that they footnoted to see if they were actually correctly quoting somebody or not. Now, one of those little things I chased was the Epistle of Barnabas and the Didache. All right. Now on page 58 and 59. Now you have that. You have page 59. You have page 59 there. Brother John, you're going to have to go listen in front of this message, the beginning of this message on there, because I know you're going to like this one.
Right. I don't think there's any of them that you do I don't.
All right. Well, this one here has got dynamite in it, I'll tell you that much. We studied Sodom and Gomorrah, the names. We studied the name of Barnabas, which means son of consolation or son of prophecy. Now, we're going to go into the Didache now. And Barnabas is writing. Now, I'm not saying the Doxy or Barnabas, the Epistle of Barnabas, is inspired of God. But guess who his teachers were? Guess who his fellow companion was? Paul. All right? Now, and he was a Levite, he was a priest, okay? And he was well known in the Bible. Let's just see what he says in his writings about the end times. We're studying Ezekiel, aren't we? We're studying about the end times. We, every day, almost anybody that you run into is talking about the end of the world, aren't they? Well, right now they're talking about the end of the world all the time. Over in Japan, Japan's in bad shape, people. I don't know whether you know that or not because of these nuclear power plants. They're considering evacuating Japan. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
They're considering evacuating Japan. And where are these Japanese going to go? Russia already opened the door and said, we'll take them. Of course, Korea and China, you know, the Japanese and all the Oriental has been fighting for thousands of years, so they don't want them over there. And, of course, America will have to absorb some of them. Okay? And if you start from the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation and read onward, and that's where we are basically in the book of Ezekiel right now, we're talking about the end times. The end of the world. We talked here about, I had a lesson, I talked about no God, no guns, and no gold. Remember that one? No God, no guns, and no gold. That's the premise of the Antichrist. Did you know that? Everybody today is, people say, invest in God, invest in guns, and invest in gold. I'm going to tell you something, at the end time, those are not going to do you one bit of good. If the rapture takes place, right here, during the tribulation period, and we may even have the mark of the beast already. Huh? Your Social Security number? You've got to have a Social Security number to get a hunting license. Do you know that? A fishing license. A driver's license. A job. A bank account. Cash a check. What else? To go to the hospital. To have a doctor. Social Security number.
Get married.
Get married. Get buried. I'm not kidding. All they have to do is imprint that thing on you, and you can't buy or sell or anything without it. Now, can you buy or sell? Can you get a job without it? We may already be numbered. Absolutely. Oh. Well, Barnabas talks about the end times. Okay? And we may be there. Harold Camping has the end of the world on May the 21st this year. That's not very far away from right now. He says that if he is not raptured up on May the 21st, he said it means that he wasn't part of the elect. That's right. That's his own words. Okay? Now, it says here in number 15, you know, they numbered the book of Barnabas, kind of like the Bible, you know, chapters and verses. Moreover, the Scripture has also mentioned the Sabbath in the Decalogue, in which he spoke face to face. Now, on page 59 is where this starts now. You've got it right there on that piece of paper. Moses on Sinai, also keep my holy Sabbath of the Lord clean of hand and heart. In another passage he says, if my children keep the Sabbath, then I will bestow my mercy on them. And he speaks of the Sabbath at the beginning of the creation. And God made in 6 days the works of his hands, and when he had completed them, he rested on the seventh day and sanctified it. Now look at, as we read this, I want you to study this map up here on the wall. All right? Now way back over there in Genesis, back there, in eternity past, God created the heavens and the earth, didn't he? And it says, and the earth, she became formless and void in Genesis 1 and 2. It says, Barashit, Bara, Elohim, and Hashemayim, Weyad, Haaretz. And then it says, Weha, Aretz, Hayatahu Wahuhu in Hebrew. And that means the earth, she became formless and void. And then it says Spirit God went out and started reconstructing the earth. And in 6 days, God reconstructed the earth and then rehabitated it with man and animals and trees. All right? And he put man over the earth as the head of the earth, the Rosh of the earth, the head of it, over everything. Okay? Under God. And he was the master of the earth. Satan had been displaced. And God told Adam, guard the earth, didn't he? Guard it. Guard the garden. Guard the earth. And what happened? He failed. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then they were kicked out of the garden. And then they handed over the paradise and the earth, and even the universe, to the Satan of hands, to the hands of Satan for a while. So now we're still living on the earth, but who is the God of this earth right now? Who's the prince and power of the air? Satan. So we're putting up with his bunch of baloney all these 6,000 years. As far as history, real history, states, man has been on this earth almost or real close to 6,000 years. And in 6 days, God created or restored the heavens and the earth, didn't he? He restored it. And then what did he do on the seventh day? Now go down through here. We have the age of conscience, and we have the flood. When the mankind, he told them to scatter and multiply, and what did they do? They built a one world government. A one world government. The Tower of Babel. We have Nimrod. Now the Bible had promised a Messiah, hadn't it, in Genesis 3:15. Now I want you to see something that is so perverted and perverse and twisted. Nimrod, when they worshiped Nimrod, they worshiped Nimrod and his mother. And they had little halos around their heads in ancient drawings and pictures. Did you know that? Nimrod and his mother. They called her the mother of God. All right? This is way back yonder, right back there. In ancient culture and society, when is the end of the world according to the Mayan culture?
2012, December 21st.
Yeah.
Which is not too far away.
No. Harold Capping says May the 21st, 2011. But we know that the end of the world is near because things are lining up real good. Okay? Things are lining up. We see the things that are all supposed to happen from... I study the Bible. I'm not worried about the Mayan calendar. I'm not worried about Harold Camping. I'm not worried about what the Jehovah's Witness... The Jehovah's Witness had the end of the world about 3 or 4 different times. Charles Russell and Judge Rutherford and everything. All over. The Mormons. The Seventh-day Adventists. By the way, all of those got started in the same place back in the late 1700s and early 1800s. All from the same nucleus. It was all eschatology. Okay, they have... You go back and study in history and you can find out where it is. When I teach church history, I show all that. But many cults have been started by eschatology. Okay? Now, you go back and you see human government was established. All right? Well, what happened there? Huh? Back over here in Noah's time. You know, God flooded the earth, and then we have he told them to scatter and multiply. They failed to do that, and we have Nimrod. Okay? When the earth was flooded, now we have the earth divided and the languages confused. That's what we have today. We have the Hamites going out into society and into the world and going into the furthest reaches and actually establishing sometimes the greatest nations and cultures. We have the Incas, we have the Mayans, we have the... What over in Africa? What was the great civilization in Africa?
Egypt.
All right, we see these. What else? What are the great cultures that was so far advanced? Hamite cultures. China. All right. some of the greatest medical researches and advancements, even hygiene and medicine in China was far beyond anybody else. Then the Japhethites, in the book of Genesis, it said that the Japhethites would follow behind them and capture their lands and the control of their lands. And that's happened. God prophesied that in Genesis. Then we come over here to the age of promise where Abraham is. Okay? And God calls him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, which is the religious, tremendously advanced culture where he was in the Ur of the Chaldees. Great schools, great big populated cities. He said, get out of there, and I want you to become a nomad. A nomad. And he sent him into the land of Canaan, basically, and he was a nomad for the rest of his life, looking for the city whose foundation and builder and maker was what? Was God. Nomads. I just want to throw this in just for a moment. The American Indian was probably the most blessed people with food and health and medicine in the world, because they lived as nomads, most of them. Every place that you see a great culture, you see slavery taking place. Mass slavery, like the Incas and the Mayans and the Egyptians, all of that, you see that. Even the Chinese. Tremendous. Why did they build the Great Wall of China? How'd they do that? With slave labor. That's the only thing that you can see from outer space, did you know, is that Great Wall of China. They say you can see that easily from outer space. With slave labor. Okay? American Indians. There's a book called Indian Givers. Europe was starving to death until they came to America. And Christopher Columbus took back potatoes. They took back carrots. They took back tomatoes. They took back all kinds of stuff from America. Corn that they didn't have. In your King James Bible, it says over there that they were out there gleaning in the fields of corn. There was no corn in Egypt at all. Corn came from America. Peanuts came from America. Pumpkins. Turkeys even. There were things, there was food over here that they never heard of or used over in Europe at all. Went back, and when Christopher Columbus took peanuts and potatoes back to Europe, nobody wanted them because they grew in the ground. Except the Irish. They would accept the potatoes. Now let's go on. Thought I'd throw you that one in there for just a good measure. The law, the Egyptian bondage. And then God brought them out of Egyptian bondage. And God told Noah that this would happen back in the book of Genesis. He told Abraham it would happen in the book of Genesis. This is not something just jumped up and happened overnight. This is what we call prophecy. Nabah. Prophecy. Okay? Prophecy. We have the law with Moses, God giving Moses the law on Mount Sinai. And then we have Jesus coming and fulfilling Genesis 3:15, and he comes to the land, and he's there. Okay? And he calls out his little church, and he replaces Israel as the administrator of God's kingdom, and now we live in the eighth church age, don't we? That's where we are, and probably close to the end of the church age. Close to the end of the church age. Now let's see what Barnabas says about, as you look at this whole map, okay, I don't want to confuse you, I want to make it straight and plain today. He said, for 6 days, the works of God's hands, and when he had completed them, he rested on the seventh day and sanctified it. And then it says, number four, notice, children, what he means by the words, he completed them in 6 days. It means in 6,000 years, the Lord will make an end of all things. We're at that end somewhere right now. Real history. Now they say man's been on the earth for 100 million years or 80 million years or whatever like that. There is no proof that man has been on this earth as you see man today more than 6,000 years ago. There's a cave up there in Fish Lake Valley that had basically 6,000 years of occupation in it, or close to 6,000 years of occupation, that people had lived there. They can go back and you can trace history, and it'll go back and say, these people lived here. We have documented history that they lived here. Documented history. History that they lived back there. That time. He means this, in 6,000 years the Lord will make an end of all things, for in His reckoning, the day means 1,000 years. He by Himself, my witness, when He says, behold, a day of the Lord is 1,000 years. Therefore, children, in 6 days, in the course of 6,000 years, all things will be brought to an end. And He rested on the seventh day. Now, there was a lap link right here, wasn't there? Between the nation of Israel, the administration of God's kingdom under Israel, and the administration of God's kingdom on the church, wasn't it? Jesus, when He went out, who did He preach to? Who did Jesus preach to? He preached to the Jews in the beginning. Because it was a Jewish dispensation still, wasn't it? When did He cut Israel off as a nation? What was really the day that He did that? Now, He went out and He began calling out His ecclesia, His church, during His ministry. He began to call it out. He established it. He gave them apostles already. He had ordained 12 apostles, didn't He? That's the first gift's place in the church. What else did He do? What ordinances do you have in the church today? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. The church, it says, baptized more than John the Baptist did. It'll say in the Bible that Jesus baptized more disciples than John did, and then it'll say that Jesus didn't baptize anybody, but the church baptized them. The church had a treasurer in it, didn't it? Who was that? Judas Iscariot. By the way, Judas Iscariot means Judas. He had a good name. Judah is a very good name. His name was Judah. Jude. The name Jude, Judah, or Judas is all the same name. Nobody names their child Judas, but they might name him Judah. Or Jude, huh? Same name. All right.
What about Judy?
Judy is the same thing. That's feminine. Judy is a feminine form of Judas or Judah. All right. Now let's go on a little bit further. That church had baptism. It was baptizing people during Jesus' ministry. The church didn't begin on the day of Pentecost. It didn't begin there. The church was already in existence, okay? The church was already doing all kinds of stuff before the day of Pentecost, okay? Not only that, but what are the two ordinances of the church? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Did the church have the Lord's Supper before the day of Pentecost? Yes. So we have a lap link. When Israel was cut off is when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The king of Israel came in to take over His throne. I've told you this so many times. He went in there, He made a whip. He turned over the benches of the money changers, which was a type of bankers in the old times. He told them, you are bankrupt, your system is bankrupt, and He took it over, and He said, you have made my father's house a den of what?
Thieves.
Of thieves and robbers. And He took it over from them. And basically what would happen in ancient times, if a priest, all ancient temples had a bank in them. And a priest was appointed, one of the priests in there was appointed as the banker. If he became dishonest and took the people's money and did away with it, you could take your money and deposit it in that bank. If he became dishonest, he was taken out and publicly whipped. His bench was broken. In other words, he said he was bankrupt. That's where the word bankrupt comes from if you study etymology. And he was taken out and stoned, decapitated, crucified or something. Now, Jesus told Israel they were bankrupt. From that point of on, they have no legal authority from God to do anything. They were outlaws from that point of time on. Outlaws. Lawless, anomia, is what the Greek word says, lawless, at that period of time on. And then what did they do? Since they should have been crucified, all the priests and everything should have been done away with because they were debunked, they were bankrupt. What did they do to the Messiah? They murdered Him. They took and whipped him. They should have been publicly whipped. But they... Jesus was publicly whipped. Pontius Pilate said, well, if I have him whipped real good, maybe they'll have mercy on him and turn him loose. He was doing everything he could to turn Jesus loose. But they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't have it. After he even had him whipped, they said, crucify him. They shook the whole building with their voices. Pontius Pilate, in his letter, historical letter, it says that their voices were screaming so bad. He said, standing on the pavement, they were stomping their feet and saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He said, I thought the place was going to fall down. He said, it was like a den of, like being in the bottomless pits of hell. All those people crawling, calling, and crying out for the crucifixion of Jesus. Well, then the church. Absolutely, there on Pentecost, God glorified the church with His Shekinah glory, didn't He? He possessed it and He sent it out with power. And through all this church age, now we already have the diagram down, don't we? Here's a little map up here that a theologian put together a long time ago. See there? Leon Bates, right there. A long time ago, he put this map together because this tells about how things are going to happen in church history. And we have scriptures backing all this up. All right? Then on the seventh day, he will properly rest. Six, furthermore, he says, you shall sanctify it, clean of hand and heart. Consequently, if anyone is able to present, to sanctify a clean heart, the day on which God has sanctified it, then we are the victims of deception. Consider, we shall, as it appears, properly rest, sanctify it, then only when we are able to do so after being ourselves justified and having received the promised blessing, when there is no more iniquity and all things have been made new by the Lord, then at last we'll be able to sanctify it because we have first been sanctified ourselves. He further says to them, your new moons and Sabbaths I disdain. I don't like them. Consider what he means. Not the Sabbaths of the present era are acceptable to me, but that which I have appointed to mark the end of the world, to usher in the eighth day, that is, the dawn of another world. Now on page 179, which you have, page 179 in this Epistle of Barnabas, okay? During the church age, from here back to there, basically, Barnabas says, there's about 6,000 years of mankind's occupation on this earth. Man's going to be turned loose for 6,000 years. By the way, what's the number or the mark of the Antichrist? 666. What does 6 mean? Man. That's the number of man in the Bible. So what it means is the trinity of man. Man, man, man. The fulfillment of man. Alright? When man fulfills all things, what's the most evil man that will ever walk the face of the earth? In the Old Testament, the Jews called the Antiochus Epiphanes, didn't they? The abomination desolation, Antiochus Epiphanes, when he came in. The book of Maccabees tells how the Jews took over their land from Antiochus Epiphanes, and they took it back. And then we have Christmas. Christmas is the Christian celebration of Hanukkah. Did you know that? Some of you did. Hanukkah. They would have a celebration and the renewing of the temple, when the cleansing of the temple, when they took the temple back from Antiochus Epiphanes. For so many days, they didn't have any oil to light the menorah, the candlestick in the temple, and they gave gifts to each other because God provided a miracle every day. They did not have enough oil, but God made the oil to just keep pouring out, like in Elijah's time, when the widow kept having flour and an oil, it just kept on coming. That's what happened there in the time when they were rededicating the temple in Maccabees. That's where we have the what we call the celebration of Hanukkah or Christmas. Okay. Now, for this 6,000 years that ends right here, we've got a lap link. We're studying the book of Ezekiel right now. And Ezekiel 36:16-19, somebody go there. Ezekiel 36:16-19. Now we're going to start looking up some of these scriptures. Let's go there. Anybody got that?
Chapter 36?
Yes. 16-19. Talking about the dispersion of Israel.
Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by their conduct and their actions. Their conduct was like a woman's monthly uncleanness in my sight. So I poured out my wrath on them because they have shed blood in the land and because they have defiled it with their idols.
What blood had they shed? When he finally dispersed them, what blood had they shed? The blood of God's Son. They would be kicked out. Israel was scattered, dispersed. That's what we call the diaspora, the dispersion. Okay? The dispersion. They were scattered out. And for a whole period of time. And then it says, in the end. In the end times, God will call them back. We have the prophecy of the dry bones. Let's go to Ezekiel 36:20-24 now. 36:20-24. Brother Art, you there?
Yes. When they came to the nation where they went to proclaim my holy name, because it was said of them, either the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of this land. But I have concern for my holy name. The house of Israel hath proclaimed among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus say the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O the house of Israel, that I am about to act in my holy name, which you have proclaimed among the nations where you went out. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been proclaimed among the nations, which you have proclaimed in their midst. And the nations will know that I am the Lord. Declare the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in your sight. For I will take you from the nation, gather you from the land, and bring you into your own land.
All right, now what in the world happened? Israel was scattered throughout. There were a few Jews left in the land of Israel also. There were a few of them that stayed there. Not very many, but a few scattered here and there that were left in the land. But Israel was all over the world. That we have them all over Europe, we have them in Germany, we have them in Russia, we have them in China, we have them all over the place. Okay? And it says in the end times that God will call them back in the end times. And God allowed a man. Well, let me tell you this also, even before this. Martin Luther, how many of you have heard of Martin Luther? They call him the father of the Reformation, okay? And then we have John Calvin. He was called one of the fathers of the Reformation also, John Calvin. So we have Calvin, we have Luther. And they were students of Augustine. Students of Augustine. That's what the Catholics call St. Augustine, okay? And St. Augustine wrote a lot of writings way back yonder in early church history. He wrote a lot of writings around 300 and... around about, 300 AD when he lived, somewhere around there. And one of the things he said is that God had turned his back on Israel and that Israel should be destroyed. The nation of Israel should completely be annihilated off the face of the earth. They ought to kill every Jew because they had crucified the Messiah. He said they ought to kill every Jew. And then John Calvin perpetrated the same words as Augustine had. How many of you have heard of this before? This is what's called replacement theology. How many of you ever heard of replacement theology? That God replaced Israel with the church and that Israel was finished. Okay? That's what we call Augustinianism. We call it Calvinism and also Luther. In Germany, Luther, the state church still in Germany, and the state church of Germany back in that time from Martin Luther's time only was what? It's easy. The Lutheran church. For many years the Lutheran Church had taught, and Martin Luther had taught, that the Jews should be totally taken from society, put in work camps, and worked to death. All the men should be neutered, and the females should not be allowed to have any children. And therefore, they would annihilate the nation of Israel for the name of God, because God had completely done away with them. This is what Martin Luther called for way back yonder. How many of you knew that? Anybody know that? Raise your hand if you knew it. All right, I like to see somebody raise your hand around here. Brother David, you know that? Yeah. There, you can. I even circulated the letter that he wrote and the papers that he wrote one time where he put out that edict. Okay? So, when Hitler came on the scene, what was he doing? What was Hitler doing? Fulfilling what Luther had called for. And he was going to get rid of the Jews. Now, with that, and all over Egypt, the Spanish wouldn't let any Jew own a bank or any money. They couldn't change money at all. And how many of you ever seen hawk shops? All right, you've seen hawk shops. Who owns most of the hawk shops? Jews. All right? The reason why they started dealing in diamonds and gold and stuff like that is because they couldn't own a bank. But what is a hawk shop? It is a bank. They loan money. You get claim some real valuable property. You have real estate of some sort to give them, something in your hand, and they loan you money on it at a high interest rate. Okay? That's what happened. So they couldn't have banks in Spain and everything. They started the hawk shops in Spain. Well, Hitler was going to do away all the Jews, and we have the death camps. By the way, you know he killed as many Polish people, more Polish people than he did Jews. Did you know that? And by the way, one of the things that he called back then was fatherland security. fatherland security. That's when he established the Gestapo and the SS troopers. That's when they were established. And that's when they started taking the guns away and they started, everybody became part of the military and all that, and then they had the upper echelon of the military, which was the SS troopers. Okay? Yes?
Just pointed out there, but when Jesus Christ was crucified, and Pilate said, his blood is not in my hand, and the Jews said, well, let his blood fall on us and our children, is that tying it with him there as far as that?
That's what Augustine said. It was upon, their blood was upon them, they were supposed to be killed. Let it be upon us and our children, so they... Augustine called for them to be exterminated. Well, God allowed Hitler to come on the scene. He allowed Hitler to come on the scene. So, he could make Israel want a homeland again. May the 14th, 1948, what happened? The United Nations recognized Israel, part of the land of Palestine, as the nation of Israel again. That's the beginning. Now, God used Hitler. He used even Augustine, all of these people, to bring about, to make Israel want to go back to their land. They were very happy in the world, as long as they can make money and everything else. What's New York? Basically, it's a Jewish city. All the bankers. Huh? Up here. Well, you see that? That's basically what it is. People call it New Sodom. New Gomorrah, and also Babylon the Great, all right, in the end times. In this little page, page 179 here, right at the bottom of the page, it talks about the past. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The present, number 6. That's the church age. Look at the bottom of the page, number 6. And then we have the millennium. In between, we have a lap link, which is called the tribulation period. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Somebody go there real quick. Revelation 4, 16 and 17. Or 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. I said Revelation, didn't I? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Who is there? Anybody? Doris, you over there? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Can you read that real loud for me?
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the better part shall rise first. Then we will, which then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
All right. Now this is the end of the church age, people. That's the end of the church age. When is the end of the church age? We do not know the hour. We do not know the time when that takes place. But when the rapture takes place, the resurrection of all the dead from the resurrection of all the dead from there all the way to here will take place. There are going to be the graves are going to be open, people. Graves are going to be open. Dead people are going to just go foof.
Like zombies up.
They're going to go foof. Zoop! Up out of the ground. They're going to go zip. And I think the reason why the dead of Christ are going to raise first is that those living people that believe in God, those saved people, those saints that are living, so they can see the power of God's resurrection and witness it. And just about the time they get up at eye level, then they're going.
So
this could happen. This could happen today.
Well, this is all even before Jesus came.
What?
That were in the graves.
Yeah. Well, all from the time. See, when Jesus rose from the grave, it said many graves were open. Maybe all of them were open. Maybe all the people went to heaven. Maybe there was a resurrection at that time, because we know that there was at least a partial resurrection, but maybe a full resurrection. But anyway, all these people that were raised when Jesus rose from the grave. All those that are still in the graves that are saved, they're going to raise at that time. Right here, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Now the tribulation is going to take place on the earth. Now people, hold on just a second. Now people, from the time of the rapture, they're going to know when the end of time is. Huh. How many years is that tribulation period? It tells you days. 7 years. And 3.5 years after the rapture is when the 3.5 years after the rapture is when the Antichrist is going to stand in the temple in Jerusalem and defile the temple and say that he is God. So we know all that period of time. We know those periods of time after the rapture. The rapture is the unknown factor in the end times. The rapture is the unknown factor. We don't know when that's going to take place. But we know that we've just about finished with the first 6,000 years. Look back down the deal. That last 2,000 years is in the church age. That's the present time right now. Then there is a tribulation period that Barnabas talked about. Or we have the church age and then we have the millennium. But we have a tribulation period that Israel didn't understand at all. Back then, did they? They looked for the Lord to come as a king in glory, didn't they? They didn't understand the church age, and they didn't understand the tribulation period. All they understood was this 1,000-year reign. The earth is going to rest for 1,000 years. The devil is going to be put where? In the bottomless. Look. Revelation 27-9. Let's look there. Revelation 27-9. Somebody look over in the book of Revelation real quick. Revelation 27-9. I'm almost ready to turn you loose on the world. Young lady, what question did you have?
I don't understand from the cross back. What happened to those people?
Oh, these people here? Yeah. All the saved people here are all saved. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were all resurrected and are in with the Lord in heaven today, but some of them were at least. We know that some of them were because they walked among and the Lord took them back to heaven with him. But all of these are saved people. We've only been saved one way. Okay? Now, who's got Revelation 27-9? During this tribute, during the millennial reign, the old devil is going to be locked up. Brother Rex.
1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth.
All right.
Magog, gather them together for the war, the number of them that might be sand of the seashore.
Okay. Now back here, Revelation 12:7-10, we see the plan of Satan, how old Satan's going. We see it all the way down here, Revelation 12:13-17, Revelation 21-3, Revelation 27-9, where we just discovered, and I've got paper. Here. We see all of this. And then we see that Satan, at the end of this 1,000 years now, we have the Battle of Armageddon over here, don't we? That's what everybody's looking for, the Battle of Armageddon. We have a complete revolution taking place among the Muslim world. Did you know that? Oh. 2 or 3 years ago, would you ever have thought about that even happening, Brother Brett?
Not as much as they...
No, not as much as it is. Well, what happened? You know what? We are in World War III, in all reality.
But nobody knows it.
Not yet.
We're gonna lose.
I'd like to leave it with them, wouldn't you? I'd like to just leave them with it. This is World War III right here, people. We're leading up to it. People just don't know what's going on out in the world. You don't know what's going on. You don't know who is. You don't know who your president is or who the presidents you had in the past. Every one of them. Who was the first president to use the one world order? Who? No. Who was the first, in modern times, who was the first president? George Senior. The new world order. The one world government. George Senior. George Bush Senior. The first one to use it. That's the very... Boy, when he said it, oh boy, give me chills. Because that's the Antichrist. But every... I don't care who is in that White House, people, we're going that way. I don't care who in there, whether you're on the right or on the left, we're going that way. I can just tell you one thing, that we're exactly in God's time period, we're exactly where we're supposed to be today. And there is nothing that you can do about it. There is no world leader, no nothing that's going to change it. The program is set. How many of you have an automatic washing machine? Huh? You got one? I remember, boy, my grandma, my great Grams, remember Grams, Doris? I'd see her out there rubbing on the scrub board, and my grandma, she scrubbed clothes on a rub board and everything. I'm going to tell you something, that wasn't automatic. She got out there and scrubbed those clothes and washed those clothes with lye soap. Lye soap made out of ashes. Not lye, Marilyn. Made out of ashes. I saw them make that lye soap. And she'd scrub those clothes and my grandma would iron them. Stay up all night long whistling and ironing. Singing. Ironing clothes to help supplement. All right? Now they got automatic washing machines. First I ever saw one was after my grandma died. We got one. You put the clothes in there, you put the soap in there, and turn on the water, and when it got through, it would buzz or something. It's done. Automatic. This world is set on automatic, people. This is cruise control. Automatic pilot. I don't care who comes and rises and falls. It don't make no difference. It don't matter. Because we're going the same direction. People out trying to take our country back over. Foolish. Our country is exactly programmed to go exactly where it's going. Exactly. What do you think if Martin Luther had killed all the Jews of the earth, what would he have done? He would nullify the promises of God, wouldn't he? Israel couldn't, if they were all killed, they couldn't be regathered, could they? Did God use Hitler? Boy, ungodly buzzard, wasn't he? He was a type of Antiochus Epiphanes again, too. But he was doing it under the name of religion. You know, all he was doing is putting into effect what Martin Luther had called for. But if he'd have done that, if he'd have killed all the Jews, he killed a bunch of them. But if he'd have killed them all, he would have nullified the promises of God. Back in the early 1900s, the Southern Baptist Convention says, give us so many $1 million and we'll bring in the world. We will convert the world. So the Lord will have to come back and take it over. We'll bring in the millennium. Boy, that was foolish, wasn't it? That's Southern Baptist Convention. That's what we're part of, people. We're in the Southern Baptist Church. But if we had done that back then, which we couldn't have, but how many things The tribulation period's got to take place first. The rapture's got to take place first. You can't bring in the millennium. You can't. Mankind has never been able to legislate morality. John Calvin tried to do that up there in Northern Europe. He wanted to put in Augustine's City of God. Every church, every state was a church state. You tithe and you went, if you didn't go to church on Sunday, you were fine. You could go to jail. Did you know that? And when you got a job, every paycheck you had, you tithe out of that paycheck to the church. That's right. They automatically, that's part of a tax. That was the tithe tax that you tithe to the church. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now, people. It's voluntary. You're saved voluntarily. Every child that was born into the world had to be baptized within so many days, or that family was fine. And that's when the word Baptist came on the scene. Well, I hope you tied a few things together in God's Word today. Does it make a little more sense to you? Just a little bit. Barnabas, even though his words were not inspired, but he had an idea, didn't he? He had a kind of idea that sometimes we don't look at today. This is the map, God's plan of the ages, Brother X.
What does Nimrod mean?
I'll have to look it up because I forgot. I can tell you. Back in your concordance, it might tell you that. I cannot think of what his name means right now, Nimrod. You know what a concordance is now. I did not see a study Bible with you today, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You need to get you a study Bible. All right? Get you. Everybody needs a study Bible and take notes in that Bible. You can look it up, and when you go there, you know exactly what's going on. All right.
Yeah,
we're finished. Good. Thank you. Go out and do something eternal. Brother Brett.
Have it. Yeah, I told Jim the other day.